Verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That's important. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, bless your word now. Bless your holy word as it goes forth. Amen. You can be seated. And thus you've read Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. Two times he mentions that he is of the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ was fathered by God the Father, by no earthly man, but by God the Father, by the power and through the instrumentation of the Holy Spirit of God that came upon a virgin, and she brought forth a son. So we believe in the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the church you're going to does not believe that, let them feel the vacuum as you hit the door, headed out the back. Get away from that crowd as fast as you can. You are in a religious institution, but that is no church by any means. Anyone that denies the virgin birth of Christ, of course, has pulled him down to your level and made him nothing more than a martyr and a good teacher and a rabbi and this and that and this and that. My dear friends, he's God in flesh. He's the God-man. He's God manifested in flesh, and that's important. The angel said, call his name Jesus. Well, that Jesus, Jesus in Greek, literally means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. The covenant-keeping God of the Old Testament. He saves. In plain words, he's the Savior. I know him as the Creator. I know him as the Sustainer of life. I know him as the one who holds all this together. And that's all wonderful and true and should be known and should be preached. But when you know him as Savior, you know him intimately. Yeah. Things have changed then because you know him personally. And that's what's important. This is why if we're here in this house today and we're going to preach the truth, we're going to preach to you how that you must know him personally, intimately. You know him as your Savior. Yes, sir. And that's very, very important. I want you to notice a few things it says in Scripture. Luke chapter 7, verse 44, it says, wherefore I say to thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. My dear friend, he saves by forgiving of your sins. That's a wonderful thing. To have your sins forgiven is a blessedness that an awful lot of people on this earth know nothing about whatsoever. Have you ever felt that load lifted from your soul? Have you ever felt clean deep down inside your being? Have you really felt the power of God sweep across your life and know that you have changed? Something has changed in you. Psalm 32 verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Amen. Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. David cried and said, unto mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. And boy, did he ever have them, but did God forgive them? Yes, he did. He's able to forgive, my dear friend. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I'm not the one doing the forgiving. He is. And he can forgive from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 32, he confessed it and God forgave him. Do you know why evil men and seducers wax worse and worse? You ever wondered why? Let me tell you one of the reasons. It's because of the weight of their sin. The weight of unforgiving sins becomes too much for them to bear. No human was ever made to be able to bear a lifetime of godlessness and rebellion and reproach upon God. Imagine that. Imagine if you're here today, you're 50, you're 60, you're 70 years old, and you've lived a godless life, and you've got a record behind you, and it keeps piling up, and your conscience is seared and burned, and you try to go to bed at night, and you try to sleep. It's hard, isn't it? It's tough. It's a hard thing. But you know something? If you're sitting in this house this morning and your sins have been forgiven, you've been blessed. If you're sitting in this house this morning and you got peace with God, you've been blessed. You've been blessed beyond measure. Psalm 127 and verse number 2 says this: "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Amen. You ever know how a baby sleeps? No conscience, no worry, no problem, no. Just a little thing goes to sleep, just sleeps away. Do you sleep like that? You have peace when you go to bed at night? Or do you worry? You worry about what you've done if it catches up with you? Are you worried about the phone ringing? Are you worried about somebody texting something? Are you worrying about a knock on the door? Are you worried? Are you worried? Bible says the way of the transgressor's hard. I wouldn't want to live like that, would you? You don't have to live like that. Are you watching behind you, looking around the corners? Are you spying everybody? Are you dressing people down that come around you and wonder what their motive is? My friend, don't have to live like that. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse. He forgives. Not only that, but it says in Romans 5:9, "Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." The apostle says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, you may not feel the justification. It may not be something you can put your hand upon and explain, but it's a legal term. It has to do with the God of this world, who has legal authority. He has legal power here. He runs this world right now. There's only one that can keep him in check. There's only one that holds him back. "He that letteth will let till be taken out of the way." And that's the Holy Ghost of God. But this devil has authority over you if you don't know the Lord. He can take you captive at his will. He can turn your life inside out. He can come against you with powers you don't even know exist. He can run you out of your mind. He can destroy your life. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. But the Bible says if you've been born again, you've been justified. Where's the justification, preachers? In Christ, who went to the cross. The innocent one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The Lord Jesus Christ bore your sins. The sin debt is paid. Satan can no longer accuse you of what you've done because it's covered by the blood. Christ is the justifier. Amen. Therefore, because it's just, then God is able to justly forgive you. The Holy One cannot look on past sin. He cannot condone it. In his holiness, my friend, holy, 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 he must have a legal right to forgive you. And he does in what Christ did at the cross. Amen. Yes. Not only that, but John 17 verse 2 says, "Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Amen. You say, "Preacher, I'm waiting for the Lord, amen, to open up heaven and for me to start my eternal life." I'm not. I'm living it right now. I'll never see death. Amen. "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die," it says. Amen. Already, folks, the life of Christ is in my soul and in my spirit. I hear heaven singing. I see the river of life. I know there's something greater than this place. I know the power of God when I see it, and I know what it can do to you. I know there's power in this house today. There's reason for that, because God's going to do something for somebody in here.
right now in this house before we walk out of here. He saves from death because he gives eternal life. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, he says in John 10. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. Take that to heart. When he says that, he means what he says. Not only that, but he saves from the degradation, the filth and vile of this world. Romans 1 verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. For in verse 26, he says, this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use and that which is against nature. 2 Peter 2 said, and delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. It's always been in the shadows. It's always been hidden. But now they march in your face with it. They're proud of it. They promote it. Even the television stations promote it. My dear friend, it makes no difference where the culture's headed. I know what the Bible says, and I know who lives in me, and I know who I'm saved. Amen. But notice carefully, it says the filthy conversation. The book of Revelation, chapter number 22, verse 11, he that is just, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Boy, here we go, off into eternity. And God's passing judgment and says, if you're filthy, you're going to stay filthy. Can you imagine wallowing in filth and living in this all for eternity? Can you imagine something like that? That's beyond comprehension. But notice what the Bible says here. Revelation 1:5, he hath washed us from our sins in his own blood. 1 John 1, cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever been around God and got through praying and had some fellowship with the Lord and when it was over with, you just felt clean? You just felt clean. I mean, when you got on your knees, you felt this burden upon your soul. You've done something. You know it wasn't right. You confessed it and you felt the load lift. But there's more to it than lifting the load. There's the cleansing. The song comes back. The joy comes back. Oh, yes, the colors are there again. The music starts playing. There's peace in the soul. And the life takes on new meaning again. The apostle said, for me to live is Christ, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. Aren't you getting sick and tired of religion? This American Christianity will drag you down to hell. I'm so sick of it, I can't stand it. I want the power of God. If it's only for a handful, that's okay. Give me that handful. If you had just a few people, preacher, that want to walk with God, where are they? Let me walk with them. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you something this morning. I believe we have a new generation. We got young people today that inspire me because I see in them a hunger for what I'm preaching about this morning. Yes, sir. Teenagers, younger kids coming up, and those a little older, 20-something, 30-something, they have a desire for God, and I love that. That's good because he may come and get me and I'm gone. Folks, I may hear that river of life before the sun goes down. I may hear the angels singing before tomorrow morning arises. But I know one thing, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I know where I'm going. Been here long enough. I know how fast this world can end. You better believe it. I mean, it can come to an end, folks. Oh, I'm happy. I got my barns built. I've got my house paid for. I've not got my cars paid for. Listen. That could all mean nothing before the sun goes down. Are you ready to go? Are you ready? And not only that, but look what it says in 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's right. He saves you from the power of Satan. Yes. Yes. He saves you from that power. Yes, he does. I've told you before how I grew up. I lived on Jerolman Avenue. How many of you know anything about Knoxville? I lived in the projects. As a little boy, lived with my grandfather. I was probably 4 years old when I came to his door, knocked on it. He brought me in. Back in those days, everybody didn't have televisions. This is important for you to understand what I'm saying. I was just a little boy that had never really watched any television. I had no scary movies, you know, no werewolves, none of that stuff. Just a little boy. But I remember one night when I went upstairs, went to bed. I laid down in that bed and the ceiling was full of white things moving back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, all over the place. Scared me to death. And I pulled the cover up over my head and I lay there and I literally shook. And I'm probably 5 years old, maybe 6 years old. So what happened, preacher? Well, if you know anything about the projects, you know that they're coming and going all the time. Somebody had lived there before us. Somebody had lived there before the ones that had lived there before us. Constantly, constantly. So I had no idea who had been in that place when I moved in there. But I do know this, I had an encounter with the spirit world and it was terrifying. One time I went down to Riceville, Tennessee. How many of you know where Riceville, Tennessee is? We went down to my grandfather's sister's home in Riceville, Tennessee. She was a good cook, oh, wonderful cook. She could cook these big biscuits that brother was talking about the other day on a wood-burning stove. Yes, yes, yes. But they took us into the living room and she said, now see that picture on the wall right there? And it was a picture of a man. She said, now to me, it's probably a great-grandfather, which would run us back into the early 1800s or somewhere in that time. She says, he was a warlock. A what? A warlock. What is that? And that is a master witch. That is a male witch. That is one who calls upon the powers of darkness and brings them into his family and uses them to gain what he wants. Somebody said, no, preacher, do you believe in that stuff? Let me tell you something. There are churches all over this town that are like laboratories with men with long white robes on, and they've got their machinery and they've got their books, and they go about their business like it's like a machine, like some kind of a thing that is detached from reality. You know, they're clean. They're too clean to deal with what I'm talking about. But some of you know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do. A warlock. I didn't think much about that until I began to grow, until I began to mature in my life, and I realized that there was a strain in my family. There was something in my family that touched that side of darkness that had been brought into my home. I didn't choose it, but it was there. Some of you can identify with me now. Some of you watching this morning can. A darkness had come in. And I couldn't explain it, but I knew it was real. I had a sense about things that other people didn't have. I could sense it, and they were just totally oblivious to it. But I knew something was going on. I knew something. But then in 1973, in a living room on a sofa, I bowed my head and said, Lord Jesus, come into my soul and save me and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to tell you right now, that darkness left me. That burden left me. At that very moment, I was born of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Oh, yes, I know exactly what it is to be on both sides of it. I know what it's like. That's why I am the way I am. I didn't come up through their fellowships and their stuff. I'm here this morning because I had a personal encounter with God. He saved me and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether they accept me or approve me is irrelevant. I know where I came from. And I've got a message for you. And I want you to listen to it today. The churches are departing from what's going on. I went to the Holy Land and I've told you that you ought to remember this one. And I was sleeping right there at the Kidron Valley. Right there at the Kidron Valley. I was close to where Christ was praying underneath the trees at Gethsemane. And I was in that room alone. And I felt a spirit come in there. And that spirit came into that room. And that spirit approached me. And that spirit tried to take hold of me. And I'm telling you, my dear friend, I'm already born again when this is happening. But that thing came after me in that room. And I went into a wrestle like Jacob did at Peniel. I mean, I was in a wrestling match. And I said to that thing, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you leave me. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood covers me. He has washed me, my friend, from my sins. You leave me. And that thing left that room just like that. Do you know why it did, friends? I didn't mealy-mouth around with it. I took authority over it because I know whom I have. I know who I belong to. I know who I belong to. Now, what I just gave you will cut me off from a lot of fellowships. But listen, let me let you in on a little secret. When they're having their fellowships, I'm drinking my coffee at home, so it doesn't matter anyway. It's meaningless to me, but will it help you? Will it help you? I'll help you if I can. I'll pray with you. I can understand a lot of things that a lot of church people cannot understand because they've never been through it, and then that's good if you've never been through it. Fine. I'm not being critical. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have people coming to this church that are watching this that haven't known anything but hell from the day they came into this world. That's all they've ever known, is hell. That's right. Until the Lord Jesus came into their life. And then once he saved them, they try to tell people and witness and, you know, give their testimony. And some people accept it and some reject it. They can't believe stuff like that. Got a family sit right up there in that building, up there in the, up in that other building here, oh, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And they said, there's a thing that comes into our house, and we've all felt it. Now, that's good when you start getting this, when you've got 3 or 4 or 5 family members all testifying to the same thing at different times. You've got something real then. And this thing comes into our house, and we can feel a coldness and a deadness, and we can feel this thing as it tries to come upon us, and it brings hell upon us. Preacher, what can we do? And I looked at him and I said, do you know that you know that you know the Lord? Do you really know the Lord? I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about this, you know, this long white robe job where you quote all the scriptures and somebody waves their hand over your head and says, and pronounces you saved. I'm talking about a real encounter with God. Because if you haven't had, get out of there. If you're not born again, you better leave the demons alone. Because the book of Acts makes it plain. If you're not saved, those demons can come out of that one and go right in you. Amen. I'm trying to scare you. I'm warning you. But if you are born again, you can say to that thing, get out of my house. Leave my house alone. You leave my house. You leave here. I know the Lord Jesus. I don't belong to you. Leave this house. And it will. A man that used to come to this church, I hadn't planned to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. He used to come to this church and goes a long way back to the family. But he said that a certain woman had showed up in their life and she was doing this and that and this and that, and she came to this church. He said something strange began to happen at their home. She says on occasion a little boy would show up at the door. Now, this is what he told me, folks. I'm not making this up. God's my witness. A little boy would show up at the door. He'd go to the door, and the little boy would disappear. But it was as real as he's standing there telling me it was real. I said to him, well, when that thing comes again, you speak to it, and you tell it to leave this house. You tell it to leave you alone. It's a demon, and it's masquerading as whatever it wants. A demon can show up in a lot of different ways. Tell it in the name of Jesus to leave. And he did, and it left. It left. And then he confronted somebody right out there in that foyer. And man, was it a heated confrontation with the woman that was involved in bringing that into his home. And boy, he looked her eyeball to eyeball and said, don't you ever set foot in my house again. Don't you ever come around my house again. I've had to deal with that demon, and I'm not going to have to deal with it again. And man, she walked out of here, and he walked out of here, and it was over. It didn't happen anymore. It's real, folks. The devil is a roaring lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Let me tell you what a missionary said. This is a missionary. I believe the missionaries. I believe them. You'd be amazed at the stories that the missionaries give. Brother Randy Pike, how many know him? Brother Pike spent, 40, 50 years on the mission field. He's got an enormous amount of stories. He had personal eyewitness of this. But here's what happened. The missionary tells me an encounter with a local witch doctor. This is in cannibal country in the Pacific. The Pacific's a vast area with islands. So many of them are cannibalistic. So he has a confrontation. He's there. This missionary, he's there to...
tell them about the Lord, to try to get them saved, to give them the Bible. This witch doctor comes up to him and meets him when he comes. The witch doctor says to him, "I know who you are." The missionary said, "How could you know who I am? I've never been here before. You have no radio. You have no television. You got no newspaper. How would you know who I am?" And the witch doctor said, "You're such and such. You came from such and such town, and I know exactly where you used to live." And that missionary was stunned. Stunned. So what happened, preacher? He got on his knees, and God said, "Now, son, you're where I put you. Now you're learning the power arrayed against you. This is not a weakling you're dealing with. This is the power of hell." And he stayed there, and he's God's man as he would. Preached the word, men, women got saved, things changed, praise God. I'm not even sure about the witch doctor. It'd been wonderful that he'd gotten saved too, but I don't know the whole story. But what I gave you is the truth. That's something for you to think about. Think about this. Many today in this country are living under demon oppression, demon presence. How many of you agree with that this morning? It's bad, isn't it? It really is. It's bad, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse. This is why I preach messages like this today. What is your power against a demon? Your authority? No. Me? No. You kidding? So what is it? It's what Christ did at the cross. It is the finished work of the Lord Jesus. He made a show of them openly. He triumphed over them. Amen. He came and was physically manifested in the flesh so he could destroy the works of the devil. Plain words, he came to his own turf, met him face to face, and defeated him in everything he could defeat him in. In every battle they ever had, that ever raged, Christ won. Amen. So, for all these reasons, he is Lord and he's Savior. Yes, it says in John 4, Christ, Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save them to the uttermost. That means that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He started, he won't stop. You may stop, but he won't stop. You're better off to live for him. Let me let you in on a little secret now. Be as candid as I know how. How many of you know that you know that you know that you've been born again? Well, you're in for it. So what does that mean? That means that you can't just get unborn. That means you belong to him. That means he bought you and paid for you. That means that from now on, for every breath of life you ever take, you're his. Now, if you live for him, he'll bless you. He will. He'll bless you. But if you decide to get ornery, you know, and sail off into somewhere, and, well, you know, it's not all that. You know, I'm going to preach a message sometime on gnat strainers and camel swallowers. That's got to be a good one. Most Christians spend all their time straining gnats when they're swallowing camels. Amen. Gnat strainer. Listen, if you know him and he knows you, he'll chasten you. He won't let you run wild. And when he gets a hold of you, you'll know you've been gotten a hold of. Yes, you will. He'll chasten you. So why don't you just, you know, throw up the white flag this morning and say, "Lord, here I am. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of making excuses. That preacher preached directly to me. Who told him to preach to me like that this morning?" The Holy Ghost did. I didn't name anybody's name, but some of you feel like, man, boy, he read my mail. I don't have to do that. All I've got to do is preach the Bible. You know something? I want you to be saved. I want you to be right with God. I want you to have your joy back. I want your family to be blessed. I want your marriage to be healed. I want your health to be healed. If that's God's Almighty's will for your life, I want God's blessing in your life. Do you know the Lord? Do you really know him? Do you really know that you know that you know him? Say, I'm not sure, preacher. Well, come down here and let's get it settled this morning. If you're worried about it, let's take care of that. He that hath the Son hath life. It's not he that hath prayed a prayer. It's not he that has joined a church. It's not he that's been confirmed. It's not he that had been baptized. He that hath the Son hath life. Well, how do I get the Son? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Receive him by faith. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm not going anywhere. There's nowhere else to go. There's nobody can save me. There's nothing can save me. Nothing can deliver me. I've tried it all. And I'm coming to you for you and you alone. I'm not going to turn you loose. Lord Jesus, save me. Take hold of him in however way you can in faith. Reach up there and get a hold of him. And say, Lord Jesus, this is it. Nowhere else. Neither is there salvation in any other. Nor the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Bow your head. Father, I've delivered my soul, Lord. Felt good too. You put your hand on my soul. You gave me strength I didn't have. You've been doing that. You've been giving me strength. Somebody's been praying for me, Lord. You're answering prayer. And I thank you for it. It's above me, beyond me. But I feel something coming. And I thank you for it. Oh, God, if there's somebody sitting in this house today and they don't know you. They don't know you. Or they're uncertain. They've been raised up in church. They know all the talk, all the walk. They know all that's involved. But they don't have you in their heart. They don't really know you. It'd be a good day for them. It'd be a good day. Let them come and call upon your name. In Jesus' name. Any Christians in the house this morning? Say, Preacher Lawson, God spoke to me. I haven't been living the way I should be. I've been drifting around, drifting here, drifting there, backsliding here, backsliding there. I find myself doing stuff, looking at stuff that 6 months ago, a year ago, I've never done. But here I am now, back in it. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Nobody's looking. This is private time. This is not gawking time. This is private. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I pray for the hands that went up. Pray for their life, for their soul. I pray you'd bless them. Oh, that they might know that nothing as far as your concerns changed. You still love them. You still died for them. Your blood still cleanses, and you're asking them, come unto me, come unto me. Oh God, let it be now, let it be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.